Amen. You may be seated. So thankful for our worship team and leading us once again on a wonderful Sunday morning. This morning, it's my privilege to introduce to you our guest speaker. He is a pastor of Tree of Life Church, Tree of Life Bible Fellowship Church in Royal Oak. He's also a professor at Moody Theological Seminary. And to be honest, he's a really dear friend of our pastor, Brent Slater. So I want to introduce to you Dr. Eric Moore. Would you welcome him with me?
Well, let's open up in a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for just this opportunity to worship you and to praise you this morning. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for another opportunity for us to be able to hold your creation and your handiwork. And we thank you that we have this opportunity today to just open up your word, and we pray that you would speak to us, and I pray through me. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is a great joy and an honor to be here today. This is a great platform to be able to stand on and to speak to you. Highland Park Baptist Church has a real important place in my life. I feel like I spent my formative years here, and it was because of Highland Park Baptist Church that I even went to seminary and had the opportunity to do my internship here, and just so grateful for the ministry that you have here. And I want to thank Pastor Brent for asking me or twisting my arm to preach here this morning. And so one of the things that I want to speak about this morning is this right here, that who is Jesus Christ? And I want to talk about the superiority of Jesus Christ, because I think in these turbulent times that we live in right now, looking at COVID-19, looking at social and racial unrest, looking at the presidential election that is coming up, sometimes I think that we can forget that Jesus Christ is still in control, that we are to submit to him because he is superior to all things. So I want to invite you this morning to turn to Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to look at the first three verses of chapter 1. Now, I know Pastor Brent is going through the Bible. I think he started like 20 years ago in Genesis, and he's working his way through Revelation, and I know that you have come through the book of Hebrews, and so you already understand it. You are Bible scholars. You don't need to hear anything from me, but yet I still want to spend a little bit of time here in Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3, and I just want to look at it here. He is talking about the superiority of Jesus Christ to the prophets. Now, I want us to expand that. It's not just his superiority to the prophets, but it's his superiority to everything and everyone. I really think that we need to understand that, and not just understand that cognitively, but we need to understand that in our heart. And so I just want to look at a few things here that says that Jesus Christ is superior to, and why. So he starts off here in chapter 1, verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has spoken to man from the very beginning, and he chose different ways in which to be able to do that. And so in the Old Testament, we know that he spoke to his people through the Old Testament prophets in a number of different ways, and a lot of different prophets, and they spoke in different ways in different times. And so we understand that. We even understand that God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. So God has no limited ways of speaking to people. But it says in these last days in which we live in, he has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. His Son is superior, and his Son is the exclamation point on the sentence. Everything that needs to be said, it has been said in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ. And so he is superior to the prophets because the prophets come and go, but his Son is for all eternity, and he speaks. I'm gonna date myself a little bit. I know this, but there used to be a commercial where there'd be a lot of people talking in a room, and then somebody would say, and E.F. Hutton says, and when E.F. Hutton says, everybody became quiet. Because what he had to say was something that was very important. All the chit-chat was stopped because now E.F. Hutton was about to speak. Now, it is if Jesus Christ is the ultimate E.F. Hutton. When Jesus Christ speaks, everyone else needs to be silent. I think right now in our day and age, with all this chitter chatter, with all the social media, with all the radio, with all the different cable programs, you got CNN, you got Fox, you got all the pundits, you got all the people speaking about what should be, we as believers in Jesus Christ need to come back to his word and say, what has Jesus said? I think that is what, you know, we need to really focus on as believers in Jesus Christ. My heart is broken. Because so oftentimes I'll see believers on one side of the political spectrum and another side of the political spectrum, and we forget that no matter what the world thinks, we don't care what the world thinks. We need to be thinking about what Jesus thinks, and no matter where we fall, we need to submit to his superiority. The second part of this verse here in chapter 1, verse 2, it says also that Jesus Christ, whom he appointed the heir of all things. Jesus Christ, not only is he God's son, but he is the heir, the owner of all things. You think you own that house? You don't own that house. Jesus owned that house. You think you own that car? You don't own that car. You don't own anything. Jesus Christ, he owns everything. He is the creator of all things. We're going to get to that in a moment, but he is the heir. He has inherited all things from God the Father. And all things belong to him. Even our country, even our political system, even our racial makeup, even our ethnicity, everything belongs to him. So we need to figure out, okay, God, what is it that you want us to do with that which you have given to us? I think so oftentimes we think we are in control because we live in the United States of America. Because we live in the United States of America, you know what I mean? We have this mentality that we own stuff. We don't own anything. We are only stewards of what the owner of all things has given to us to steward on his behalf. You know, every now and then, my kids will have moments of unclarity. Moments of unclarity. I don't know if any of you parents in here, your kids have moments of unclarity. Let me explain what that is. I have two kids now that live at home, college age kids. Because of COVID, they are staying at home and doing Zoom classes. And so they are 18 and above. And they live in my house. And every now and then, they want to debate me about how I should run my household and what privilege they should have in my household. I got news for them and for you. I run my household. There's moments of unclarity. And so we do the same thing sometimes with our Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ. We think we have moments, we have ongoing moments of unclarity. We forget who Jesus is. He is the owner of all things, and we are stewards of the things that he allows us to steward on his behalf. The writer of the Hebrews says, starting in verse 1, I'm going to work my way through. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things. Through, continuing in verse 2, through whom also he created the world. He's created the ages. He's created the eons. He is the creator of all things. He has created all things, and he's created all things for himself. And he owns all things. You know, if we really stop and reflect upon what the writer of Hebrews says, it is mind-boggling and mind-blowing that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, owns all things because he has created all things, and he's created all things for himself. And so this is the God who has saved us. And if he's done all this for us, should we not submit in authority, in submission to his authority? Turn with me right quick to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, and Paul is writing to the Colossians. The Colossians have the audacity not to clearly understand who Jesus Christ is. So Paul is writing to help them in their moments of unclarity. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, talking about Jesus, it says this: "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." He is superior to the prophets because he is the creator God who's created all things. Now, if you go back to Genesis, and I'm sure that Pastor Brent looked at this whole thing of God the Father being the architect or whatever, but Jesus Christ is the engineer. He's the one that made all things happen. He's the one who made things work, make things operate, put all things together, and he's done all this stuff for himself. He's pleasing himself. And we are his creation. And so he has created us so that we might turn around and give him the glory through our life. And yet so often we as believers in Jesus Christ say, "Thank you very much for saving my soul, but I'm going to go ahead and live the way I want to, or I'm going to get my message from the media. I'm going to get my message from or the other organizations that are ungodly, not following Christ, don't care about Christ, but are appealing to our flesh." And because it's appealing to our flesh, we put God, we put Jesus on hold, saying, "Thank you for creating me. Thank you for giving me a mind and a will, but I will willfully choose not to obey you." You know, in China, just outside of Beijing, there is a company called Sinogen, and they are a pet cloning company. So they clone cats and dogs, and so if little Fluffy is about to die, and you had little Fluffy for about 10 years, and little Fluffy is on his last leg, you can take Fluffy to this company, and they will take Fluffy's DNA, and they will infuse it into some egg, and then they will implant it in another animal, and after a while, poof, here comes a new Fluffy. And now you can have your pet all over again. Now, the ramifications of that is just scary. It's just scary all the way out, but I'm not going to get into that right now. But they got this, and so somebody says, man, they think that they are playing God. That's exactly correct. They are playing. The word keyword is playing. They are playing God because they are taking something that already exists, they mix it up, and presto, they come up with something else. But God creates something out of nothing. They cannot be God. God is the only one. Jesus is the only one who can create something out of nothing. And he's created us, you and me, out of nothing. Where did our soul come from? Where did our mind come from? Where did our ability to reason and to think? Have you thought about that? What makes my finger move? What? Scientists and doctors can tell you how all that works, but why? God, in his magnificent creativity, created human beings. And the word tells us that Jesus is the one who has done all of that. And surely if he's done all of that, does not his existence demand our allegiance? You know, as I look at TV and I look at what's going on these days, I am just totally amazed. I'm like, you know, where are believers submitting to Jesus Christ as our Lord? Man, we listen to these people and we listen to these people, and none of them are bowing their knee to Jesus Christ. Well, verse 3, the writer of the Hebrews says this: not only is Jesus all that and superior because he is the creator God, but verse 3, he is the radiance of the glory of God, an exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. I don't even know where to begin to try and explain this portion of this verse. He is the radiance of the glory of God. He is the very essence. He is God in and of himself. Whatever it is that makes God God, Jesus is it. Whatever it is. And he holds all things together by the word of his power. He spoke. And it came into existence, and it continues to exist. Turn with me again back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. Continue, we looked at verse 16, but I want to look at verse 17 as well. Continue that thought. And he says here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, says this: and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things hold together. Now, one of my favorite classes in undergrad was physics. I took all the physics classes I could take. I just love physics, and I was just amazed at physics. And I understand the whole gravity between two different objects, that there is a gravitational pull, and I understand gravity and velocity and acceleration and deacceleration. All that stuff fascinates me. But the Bible tells us that it is by God's word, it is by Jesus' word that all this stuff works. He is the one who holds all things together. How in the world, have you thought about this? How in the world do we get light from stars that are billions of light years away? That Jesus, in his magnificence, put a star in the universe and took that stream of light and pulled it all the way down here. And then he put this one up here and he pulled it all the way down here. And he holds all things together. You would think, man, that this universe would be falling apart, that there would be asteroids and comets hitting our planet over and over again. But somehow, he is the sustainer of our universe. Last week, I finally sold my 2003 Dodge Durango. Had 230,000 miles on it. Had a rusted axle. Cadillac converter wasn't working. And I found out later that my wife and my son had been praying that I would get rid of that 2003 Durango. Only problem, I was praying against them. So there was some conflict in heaven. I think the spiritual warfare was going on. And finally they won because I took my Durango to my mechanic that I go all the time. And you know it's bad when your mechanic refuses to work on your car. He refused to work on it. He said, Eric, I'm just telling you, I'm not going to take your money. You really need to put this thing to bed. And here I was. I tried my best to sustain a 2003 Durango to the best of my ability. But that's no problem with Jesus. He is the sustainer of all creation. He is the sustainer of our heart beating every second of our life. He is superior to all things, because not only is he the creator who has created all things for himself, but he is the sustainer of all life. And this is why he is superior to all things and everybody. Going back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says this, and after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Not only is he God's son, not only is he the owner of all things, not only is he the creator of all things, not only is he sustainer of all things, but he came to die for all things. He loved his creation so much that he was willing to come and to die for it. And now he sits on the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. And we, thanks for dying for me. It's good. Cool. I'll see you in heaven. And our world goes to pot because we don't submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. He has secured our salvation for all eternity. Can you understand the power? The power in his salvation? You know, we have a safe in our church. We used to meet at Lawrence Tech University for about 15 years, and praise the Lord, he provided a building for us now in Royal Oak, and people still give money, cash money. Can you believe that? People actually still give cash money on Sunday morning. But anyway, so we do a lot of stuff online and mobily, and people write checks, but we also have cash, and we have to do something with that cash on Sunday morning. And so our building, of course, we make sure we lock up our building so nobody can break into our building overnight. And then we got an alarm system to make sure that if somebody does get in, the police get notified. And then we got a safe that's in a room, and that room is locked. And then the safe is locked, and only a few people know the combination. And we got all these things to make sure that people's cash is safe. As secure as our safe is, nothing is as safe as our salvation in Jesus Christ. He died for his creation. He rose, and now he sits on the right hand of the Father. And every time Satan comes to accuse you and me, he turns to his Father and says, paid for. Paid for. Paid for. See, as I look at our world right now, I look at a world that gives mouth service to Christ, but doesn't submit to his leadership and doesn't understand clearly who he is. Because if we understood clearly who he is, we would be working in harmony with brothers and sisters in Christ who see things differently from us. I want to turn to close out this message. I want to turn to Revelation chapter 5. And I know Pastor Brent is getting to this, and I don't want to steal any of his thunder, but I want to go here, Revelation chapter 5. And I want to read through the first four verses with you, because John on the Isle of Patmos has a vision, and he sees Jesus. And this is interesting because it's John, man. It's not Thomas. It's not one of the other disciples. This is John. John is the one who Jesus loved. John is the one who leaned on Jesus' chest. John is the one who Jesus gave his mother to take care of. So this is a real relationship here. And John is seeing what is going on in the heavenlies. In chapter 5, it says this: "Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on back, sealed with seven seals." So let's get the picture now. Here is God the Father sitting on the throne, and he has a seal in his hand, and this seal is sealed. And so he's sitting there in verse 2. "And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seal?'" So the angel is calling out throughout all of the universe, throughout all of heaven, "Who is worthy? Who is worthy? Who is worthy to open it?" And then we see in verse 3, "And no one in heaven and on earth or under earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it." The angel is calling out, "Who is worthy? Is there one who is worthy?" And as they seek all over the earth and the heavens and below the earth, there is no one. And John says in verse 4, "And I began to weep loudly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it." Now, I want to hang out there for a moment. I really do. Because I think we run through Scripture too fast. John is weeping loudly. A call has went out throughout all of the universe, above the earth and below the earth and through the earth and in heaven, and there is no one who is worthy. And he is weeping loudly. Put yourself there for a moment. Total despair. But then in verse 5, he said, "And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals.'" I don't know about you, but man, I'm praising the Lord then. I'm like, oh man, there is no one who can do it. And all of a sudden, here is Jesus on the scene and he can open it. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You are worthy. There is no one else like you. You have done it all. You are the creator of all things. You are the sustainer of all things. You paid the price for my soul. And you are the only one who is worthy to open the scroll. Is this the Jesus that we see? Is this the Jesus that we serve? Or is Jesus my homeboy? And I can tell my homeboy whatever I want. But the Jesus of the Bible is one that we submit to and live for and glorify with our life. And if Jesus is the one who can open the scroll, and his death has made us brothers and sisters in Christ, then somehow, even if you are on this end of the spectrum or you are on that end of the spectrum, somehow we are going to figure this out as we submit to the lordship of Christ.
You know, some of you probably come from a big family. I don't. I don't know how it is to have seven brothers and sisters, and maybe you like some more than you like others. I have no idea, but in my house, it's just my brother. It was just my brother and I. And we would fight just like siblings would fight, and my mother would always say, the two of you need to get along because you're all that you have. Brothers and sisters, we're all that we have. And when we begin to see Jesus as Lord, then all of our racial differences, all of our political differences, all the things that divide us will fade into the woodwork as we look at him who is able to open the scroll. Father God, I pray for us. I pray for us in this moment in time that you would help us as believers in Jesus Christ to put our racial differences to the side, our political differences to the side, our prejudice, our bigotries, our hatreds, and we would put them all at the foot of the cross. And we would focus on you so that we might bring you glory in this moment in time. May you be glorified. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.